The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road. They came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. So I doubt that any of you have got a vine growing in your garden or your house. Probably right. I haven't either. But actually this last week, yes? All right. So you are at least somewhat familiar with vines. We visited friends who got one growing in their conservatory this week. So I got a little bit more familiar with a vine and pruning a vine. But I have to say, it's pretty unusual for any of us here to be familiar with what a vine is like and how you grow it and prune it. But of course, 2,000 years ago in Palestine, vines were prolific. And everyone was pretty familiar with seeing vines and knowing at least something of how they were grown and pruned. And so Jesus uses that image of the vine in many of his parables and his sayings. And he uses it here on the night before his crucifixion, when he's at supper with his friends in this long discussion afterwards. It's one of the I am sayings that we find in John's Gospel. We find Jesus describing himself as the bread of life. I am the bread of life, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the way and the truth, the resurrection and the life. And here in this last saying, he uses the description of being the true vine. This was really important for the people of Israel, for him to declare himself to be the true vine. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophecies were about Israel, the people of Israel, being the true vine, God's vine, through which he will bring his fruitfulness, his kingdom, into the world. But Jesus declares that he is the true vine. He has replaced the people of Israel as the way in which God will bring his kingdom to fulfillment and fruition in the world, throughout the world. But if vines are to be fruitful, they need pruning. I don't wonder if, I'm sure there are gardeners here, even if you're not growing a vine. And I call myself a gardener, although not everyone would agree if they look at my garden, but I call myself a gardener. And I can do most of the general jobs, but there is something I'm not very good at, and that is pruning, particularly pruning my roses. But I am getting better at it, slightly better, as the years go on. I know that pruning roses, as well as vines, many shrubs and many trees, is an important task. It's vital to promoting healthy growth and encouraging flowering and, where possible, fruiting. Because left unpruned, plants become leggy and they put too much of their effort into spindly growth that does not bear fruit or good flowers. Left to grow willy-nilly, some of the branches get in the way of the stronger branches and prevent them from reaching the light. So you can see why Jesus uses this analogy of pruning when he talks about being the vine. He knows that if we are to be fruitful, then we need to be pruned. He's referring to us both individually and as a community, as the body of Christ. In our reading, Jesus is speaking to his closest disciples, and he will know, and they also know, that they have been pruned. They have had to cut out some of the things that were very much part of their lives, family life, family businesses. They are very much in need of further pruning. He knows that. He knows they're not there yet. But nevertheless, they are on the way to becoming fully fruitful in Christ. I remember when I began my training for ordination, I had to do some pruning. I knew there were things I had to cut out of my life if I was going to find time for training for ordination. And that wasn't easy, because actually everything that I did, everything that was part of my life, was important to me, and I thought important to others too. But there had to be some pruning in order to become more fruitful in other ways. But of course, pruning can be painful. Cutting out things in our life that we treasure and value is difficult. It's difficult for us individually, it's difficult for us collectively too. But remember this, that God, as vine grower and as gardener, treads gently in our lives. And when he prunes, he does it wisely and gently, and it is always in our own best interests. So, how will we make ourselves more fruitful through this pruning? Jesus is clear, the only way to do it is by abiding in him. We cannot go it alone. We must remain part of the vine. A branch on its own simply withers and dies. We must remain in the vine, abiding in Jesus, which means we have to prune some things in order to make time for prayer, for reading, for worship, for reflection on our own faith and life. We must make sure that every day we stay in touch and in tune with Jesus, that we abide in him. One of the recent stories in the news, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, was about a young Jewish man who was walking near a pro-Palestinian rally when one of the police who was managing the rally and trying to warn him of the possible risks referred to him as openly Jewish. He was referring to the kippah that he was wearing on his head. So I make no comment at all about that incident. But I do want to tell you what thought it triggered in me. I just thought, I wish that everybody I met said, Trish Cope, you know, she's openly Christian, obviously Christian, definitely a Christian. It would be wonderful if the fruits of my life, the fruits of the Spirit, were so abundant and plentiful in me, my words, my deeds, my life, so recognizable that there was no doubt that I was a Christian, abiding in Christ, living my life through him. And what might those fruits be that Jesus is thinking about, that I am also thinking about? Well, Paul, writing to the Galatians, tells us that the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forgiveness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it would be amazing, I think, for me, if all of that was so evident and prolific and abundant that everyone I meet says, she abides in Christ and he abides in her. It would be awesome if everyone I met, as Philip met the eunuch on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, if all I met saw immediately the gospel of Christ alive in me and were drawn so wholeheartedly that they wanted to be baptized straight away. I am not there yet. And probably you would all recognize that you are not there yet. But I will only move closer to that goal if I continue to abide in Jesus and strengthen that connection with him and through him to the God of love in whom he is rooted, in order to produce more fruit of the Spirit. And so I pray that in the days and weeks ahead, each one of us we'll find time to abide in the true vine so that he, who is deeply rooted in the God, Father of love, may also abide in us. Amen.